One is the Imre Sefer of the Netziv. One is a collection called Migdal Eder, which is a collection of different beautiful perushim on the Haggadah. And this is one I'm specifically focusing on, of the 115 perushim that they have here, is the Emes Liyakov of the Dubna Magid. So between these three, we'll focus on this shir here and there from other gedolim as well. Obviously, the Haggadah is Eilmud of Asof. I'd mentioned to you the psicha of the Netziv to his Haggadah. And we'll start psicha l'seder Haggadah. He writes as follows. He asked the kasha, we mentioned I think yesterday, with the Tazis kasha. Why do we have tevila and karpas only on Seder night? The rest of the year, we don't do it. It's our minig, we're making like Tosis. Lo kasha midi. The mikol makom b'seder in higu kama b'zman achilas Pesach. We have the whole idea of the Seder is to try to recreate the good old days when we had a Beis HaMikdash or the Korban Pesach. For the same reason, the custom is to wear a kittel. Wear a kittel is reminds us of Big Day Kahuna. And the entire Suda, we should view ourselves in that fashion. And he goes to other reasons. That's, he says, this is the reason why we break up the challah with the su'udah in between. Why? To teach us that the su'udah itself, lamdena shegam ikir achilu mitzvah, the entire su'udah, it's not a breakup, it's part of the mitzvah itself. Okay, so this is the idea of this psicha to the Seder Haggadah Shal Pesach. Okay, the entire Haggadah is one, the entire Seder night is a zeichel l'mikdash. I mentioned to you yesterday, that's why we are makbid, even on less than a shir, to be makbid the karpas, even though it's not really required, make it right there. Okay. So the Haggadah, as you know, Kadesh Urchatz, we spoke about, Kiddush is obvious, Urchatz, we spoke about the idea of Tibul B'mashke, and Karpas, Yachatz, we divide the matzah. Our minig is we divide the matzah yachatz at that very point, the very beginning of the Haggadah, before we even begin Magid. It's interesting that the Rambam has yachatz at the very end. And the Rambam is gives you an impression that the Gemara is in Pesach of lechem she'odim al dvarim harbe, that the matzah should be there when you recite the entire Haggadah in front of you. According to the Rambam, the Gemara has at the very beginning of discussing the beginning of Magid, which is called Mesalkin. You remove after Holach Manya, it's printed in every Haggadah. Mesalkin Akara, means you remove the matzah before Manashtar. Says every Haggadah, Avodah Mayinu, Machzirin Akara. The Yigala HaMatzah B'Shoah Shomrim Haggadah. Leave the matzah should be over because Lechem Shalom Varam Harbe. The Rambam didn't have the matzahs on the table at all. He took the matzahs away before the Manishtan and didn't put them back until guess when? Guess. After yesterday's shiur. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, write that in there. That's my lumdus from yesterday. That the Rambam held there were two psukim, two mishnayos, and kuf tezayim. The first pasuk is Zochas Hayom Hazeh, has nothing to do with the matzahs. It's an independent and freestanding mitzvah of Sipasis Mitzrayim. So Dr. No matzahs there. The second chiyuv of v'gat al vincha babu zeh, shoshish matzah v'am v'nachal v'nachal, starts from Gamliel Omer. So you don't even put the matzah on the table, Rambam says, until Rambam Gamliel Omer. It's another riot to this yisod. Fine. Let us now go back to the very beginning of the Haggadah. The first substantive statement in Haggadah really is Holach Ma'anya. Holach Manya has two different girsas. It's Holachma and Kiholachma and Hokilachma. So the Dubna Magid gives a mashal. I read you the Lashon. The Magen Emes to Yaakov, as it's cited over here in the Haggadah Megillah. Moshal le'oni echad sove v'chozer ba'yoros. A poor person that was a salesman. V'yodo ha'yu ezes schoros asher derech haniyim lasos mischa behen. He gives examples. Tzitzis, mezuzis, umaset tzatzum v'chadoyim. A peddler. My father, Zichron of the Rach, will tell over this marshal, he always used the word shmatis. You know what shmatis means? I don't know what the word shmatis means. What's a shmata?
Rag.
He was a sell rags. He had a big stash on his back selling rags. Okay? What happens? All of a sudden, he becomes rich, this fellow. Rich. Very, very rich. Okay? Because he came to a certain place and there he found a fortune. He decided that the day, the anniversary of the day, he came to that city where he found his fortune. Yaseu yomtev midei shana v'shana. Every single year, he would make a yomtev. Because he came that to the day of his atzlacha. So what did he do? He would call it Tarmel yomtev. What do you mean Tarmel yomtev? But he came bialkuto with his little bag over Tarmila, came in a satchel, full of shmatis, v'chakachis asher me'ot, uv'hagia ha'yom tefazeh, when that anniversary would come of the day he struck it rich, ho'yom inhogo lo'kachas li'kyalkutozeh al'ksefu le'zikar, he put the back, you know, my father always dramatized it, he'd get back into his old torn clothing, and put the satchel on his back with the shmatis and yell out, shmatis! You know, a salesman goes, yells out, you know, rags, I'm selling rags. And the peddler, all the people come out and buy a rag, give him a penny. He wanted to remember things weren't always so good. And this yontif was chavav eslo mikol ha'moadim. Right? He made just a special... this special, you know, shmatas bag. And what did he do? And he made for his children, yibagodim yikarim. He'd give them fancy clothes, and my father would add presents, and the kids would come out, oh, whenever they saw daddy going around, you know, once a year in his take off his three-piece suit and put on his shmata bag. So then they would say, oh, today is the day we get gifts. Today is the anniversary of the day that Abba struck it rich. Baruch Hashem. They're all excited to hear and to receive these two gifts. For here I am. He lost all his money. Everything he lost. We say, what am I going to do now? I have nothing to eat. Says his wife, what's the problem? What do you want? You forgot your old parnasa? You forgot? You put your shmata bag on. And you can't help but go back to your old parnasa, put on the same rags and put the shmata bag in. Okay. So what happens? So they he puts on his shmata thing, and they knew, his children knew, it's a big yontif, and he'd give out to everybody, to his children, and to everyone in the town, he'd give out matanas on the yontif. And they see the shmata, they're all excited. Kids, come on, hey. Give us, you know, your clothing and gifts as every single year. He says, oh, my dear friends, my dear children, you're missing, making a misunderstanding. Then I was rich. Then I would take on my shoulders a bag of shmatis, and I would give out, you know, then it was only a remembrance of what came before. The zichron ha-chesed v'atzlocha. I was just mischapes b'dmusoni. I would dress up as a poor person. I was really very rich. I was dressing up poor. Nebuch, now I'm so poor. I have to schlep my shmatis around, just not for to remember, but to make a few pennies again. Adkan the mushel of the Dum Demag. So that's exactly what happened over here. You would eat matzah on Pesach night to remember what happened in Mitzrayim. It was just a dugman of Zikaron. We said, kill Achma. Kill Achma. Kill Achma. Just with a cuff. But Nebuch, after the Churban, we go back to Golos. Now we say, ho, Achma, you're back poor all over again. Meiridik. This is the mashal of the Dumna Magad Emes Yaakov, which is my father's. Every year would start, I got with the same mashal. Every year. And I follow his tradition, he tries to jazz it up a little bit. And the children are all know, Shmatis. Ask anyone of my children, now the grand, they all tell, just say the word Shmatis. Right away, they know the whole story. Thank God my children say it over to their children. As I got it from my father, and he got it from the Dumna Magad, mashal. That's how we start Haggad every year. I'd like to add to the holy words of the Dumna Magad, who always has a mashal, the words of the Nesivus. It is Haggadah Maisa Nisim. It's Haggadah Niflo. This is a beautiful, beautiful Haggadah. And he is bothered by a number of questions. It is Maisa Nisim. Again, it really starts over here. He wants to know, why is it in Aramaic? And what does it mean, called Dichman Yesev V'Yechol? On Pesach, not on any other holidays. And he wants to know why you're doing it behind closed doors. Rabbi Sai, you want people to come to your house? Tonight, go to shul. And in a loud voice, say, whoever needs food, come to my seder. No, sir. He goes, it's ready, seder night. The doors are locked tight. No one hears what those around the table. Okay, call Dichman Yesev V'Yechol. What a big knacker that you are. You know, no one's going to hear you. What kind of joke is this? It's making a leitzanus. Maybe but five other kashas. He writes as follows: Ever asher bo b'masa me'adona v'otzio b'chazdo, a person who was in jail, and the master took him out, you make a simcha. That everyone understands that very well. We understand that. Terrific. What happens as follows? A person was once in jail, got out, and now he's back in jail. And he's back in jail. It's a worse jail than before. What? You're going to start dancing and singing now that you get out of the first jail? You're in the worst jail. Good question. Question two. When a person is happy, the normal way is to invite friends and relatives to make a big simcha. After all, it's a... You know, like Achashverosh, invite everybody. Number three, we ate matzah. It's called lechamoni because we ate it in Mitzrayim. Now you understand. This, like the Dibna Magid, was introduced after the Churban Abayis. And the question becomes, what are we making for a big deal? Akati adid Achashverosh inan. We're still shkuim begolos hamar vanimah. So we're now we're back in jail. If we're back in jail, so why are we making a yontif? Very nice. The Magad explained ho lachma. But Adrabba said, why are we making a party? What are we making a whole suda with? What are we doing over here? Here's the answer. He writes like this. The person's in jail now, what's he making? He won the battle but lost the war. He got out of jail, now he's back in jail, so what's the party? But if the original going out of jail, from that point on, muftach bebiru belishim sofek, shegam achsha bevada yetze, when you left jail the first time, when you were in jail, you never knew you were going to get out alive. Once you went out the first time, even though you were re-imprisoned, you have a guarantee 100% you're getting out. Then, kedai to make a simcha. What does that mean? We ate lachmanya b'mitzrayim, there they ate it in great sadness. Despite that fact, we're so happy to the point of called Dichman Yesev V'Yechol. Not that we're going to invite them now. We already invited them. They're around our table. And the question, of course, becomes why? Why are we inviting people? Why are we so happy? We're in jail again. Here's the answer. When we left Mitzrayim, Muftochim Anachna Bebirur, Diav Shahashto, Hashata Hocho, Lashon Abo Baradi Yisrael. Why? Because by leaving Mitzrayim, Nikneinu Lo Yizborach Liom. And even though Chas v'Shalom were not Roy at the present time, guaranteed, he's going to take us out. That's the pshat. You understand very well the entire thing. Why is it in Aramaic? It's not part of the Haggadah itself. It's Tosefes Shenitkan Bebov Alachar HaChurban. Meiridik. The question is, again, Holach Manya was Bar Mitzrayim was very sad bread. So the question then becomes, why are we having such a big Mesiba called Dichwin Yisivergel? Not we're inviting them now, much too late. But why didn't we invite them? We're back in jail. Answer is, no. When we were in Mitzrayim, we were no guarantee we were going to ever come out. Once we went out, we become Am Hashem. True, right now we're in Golot, Hashat HaHocha. But guaranteed it'll be a Lashon Abba, Barad Yisrael, Shalom Abba Nechor. What a beautiful pshat. It's a supplement to the initial mashal of the Dum Demagim, because the beautiful interpretation of the Maisan is fine. Again, it was a fairly brief shir in the Haggadah, which could spend weeks just analyzing every single paragraph. There is no more popular sefer in Jewish liturgy than the Haggadah. It's been put out by so many times. Everyone who had a sefer was writing the Haggadah. But everyone wants to buy a new Haggadah. So they're best sellers. Okay? Fine. What does it mean? Had it not been for Yitzias Mitzrayim, Anu Bonenu B'nei Bonenu B'shubodam Ayinu L'parva Mitzrayim. Come on, what are you kidding? All the empires have fallen since then. Nothing's around from the time of them. So many of the Mefarshim explain that Meshubodam means not literally enslaved, but Meshubodam means subservient to the ideology of Mitzrayim. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out from the Memtes Shari Tumah Chas V'Chalila, we would have sunk into a lowest possible level of Tumah. We would still be Meshubad to the way of thinking of Mitzrayim. The whole point of Pesach is to celebrate Zman Chayru Seinu. It doesn't just mean from physical bondage. It means we are independent. We can think on our own. We're not Meshubad, as the expression goes, to all the various isms of the world outside, whatever they may happen to be in a particular generation. That's what it means. Oh. Now, we have over here an interesting Maisa. They were Bnei Brak, and Mesabim B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, Koloso HaLayla. Until they said, Higiyas Ma'kriyashma, Shel Shachas. What a beautiful, beautiful Maisa. Then, we understand very well. Then comes the next thing, which we at first guys do not understand whatsoever. Everyone knows this, Baal Peh. Omer Abelazah ben Azariah. Harei nekiven shivim shana. Ozechisi shtam mitzvim mitzrayim b'leila. Sat Joshua ben Zoma, shenemar. Ma'an tizkos, yom tzeyeskem, mitzrayim koyim mechayecha. Mechayecha yom koyim mechayecha leilos. V'chachomim omrim mechayecha olam hazeh. Koyim mechayecha lovi demos ha-mashiach. Yes, it's a Mishnah Brochus. It's also here, found over here in the Haggadah proper. Once again, we go back to the Maisa Nisim, and as Haggadah asks the following questions. He doesn't understand what is this to do with Pesach night. It's every night. The machlokes between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim is every single night of the year. Do you have to mention Mitzrayim or not? Chachamim said no, and Ben Zoma said yes. This is Pesach night. Totally different story. You all know that. Last night, tonight, are you saying the Haggadah? No way. What do you say? Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoteisi Yitzchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's the whole story. That's what we fulfill every single day. The mitzvah of Zechiyus Yitzchem Mitzrayim. So why are you introducing this mitzvah here at Pesach night? This seems out of context completely. What's going on over here? And here's the biggest kasha. Exactly when do we commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim? There is an opinion in Brochus, it's a quote of here in the Haggadah, Chachamim say, you don't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. For a simple reason. As the Gemara puts it in Brochus, Abdallah and Mabez, Gula me'urto lo havi, velo chashiva. We left Mitzrayim, Rabosai, at high noon. High noon, be'etzer b'yom hazeh. I'm going to read it, Shabbos, the first day of Pesach. High noon. So at high noon, or thereabouts, we should talk about the fact that we left Mitzrayim. not at night. That's Chachamim Shita. Even Ben Zoma has an extra ribuy. Kol Yemei Chayecha L'Abbas Halelos. It's only a ribuy. But obviously the Iker mitzvah is by day. Frek the Maisa Nissim. Wait a minute. V'nahapachu. On Pesach night, the mitzvah is only by night. There is no mitzvah of Sipri Tzvius Mitzrayim by day. So why is it, Rabbi Osai? With respect to the daily mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's fulfilled either exclusively by day or primarily by day. When it comes to the once a year mitzvah, it's exclusively at night. It's like a stira galuya, pilei ployim. What's pshat? Gives a mashal. You think only the Dumdamag is mashalim. Listen to the Maisa Nissim's meridic mashal. When I say it over at my Seder, I just sort of modernize it a little bit. You'll have to tell me myself, Talmidim, how we can modernize it for Tov Shinayim Beis. I've been saying this much all over for all the years that my children were growing up. Now the grandchildren hear the same story. Echad shalokach yosin l'soch beisel. That probably remains the same in the Mashal. A person was taken in, was adopted. He had no father, no mother. And some kindly individuals adopted this child from birth, took him into the house, and they fed him, and they gave him to drink, and they raised him. And every single day they did wonderful things for this Yosef. Wow. Now, you know, because the Maaseh Nissim is a pure halachis, even in his mashal, it's quite terse. I will give you my version of this mashal. We'll bring it up to date. So this every day, you know, so they're taking care of him for, I don't know, for 18 years. The mamash, they do everything for him. They feed him, and they clothe him, and as my kids always know, they change his diapers when he was a little kid, and then they sent him to school, and they paid his tuition bill, which is no small sacrifice, and everything. Okay, he's now 18 years old, it's time to leave home. So what's going to be mashal? Go off to Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael to we want to make our mashal today. Let's give a more collegiate mashal. Let's say he's going to go out somewhere to a yeshiva or a college somewhere, an institute of higher learning, somewhere in America, and they give him a go-away present. And they buy him the fanciest car they could find. Now my children told me the mashal to use is a Lamborghini. Is that still a current mashal? Yeah. Yes? You know what it is, y'all?
Kind of.
I was once driving my kids, they said, Abba, that's a Lamborghini. Oh, that's the Heiliger Lamborghini we speak about every Pesach. I don't know what it is exactly. Some kind of fancy car. Lamborghini. Good. So he drives off in his Lamborghini and he calls up after he arrives at his destination. Abba, Ima. Ah, what a miracle Lamborghini. He starts telling off the oises and the moifsim of Lamborghini, what a beautiful car it is and how well it drives. Da, 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 da. Next day, calls back again. Ah. It's Lamborghini, it rained today and I put on the windshield wipers, it's so gewaldic. Next day, says, I took a trip and I put on the speakers and I had the stereo, Meridic. Next day, says, oh, I had to stop short and I put the automatic brakes. And they worked terrific and every single day, he gives another shot. Yeah, Lamborghini is supposed to be a super special car, costs a lot of money. So he's going on for 2 weeks. Every day, calls up with another chiddush in the Lamborghini. After a while, the father says, my dear son, for 18 years, after we adopted you, we clothed you, we changed your diapers, and we fed you, and we brought you to, I don't know, to soccer games, and a soccer mom, and I brought you to school, and we paid your tuition, and we got your clothes, and we did everything. And all you can thank us is the Lamborghini? Forget about the whole everything else we did for you in 18 years? Boy said, yeah, he realized he made a mistake. So every day he calls his parents and says, Daddy, Mommy, thank you for adopting me and taking care of me. That's all. 1 minute phone call. Sure. Oh. But here I am. Gets in the mail. Your 12-month warranty for the Lamborghini is about to be up. Bringing it for the servicing to be checked to see if it's okay. Oh, he brings in this car. It passed the flying colors. Like it's brand new. Calls up his app. You're not going to believe it. It's exactly a year since I got the Lamborghini. It's in Fechin. It starts going off on it for an hour. And the brakes work, and the stereo works, and the fax machine works. I don't know what else is in the car these days. I'm Morris, as you guys know better than me, what the fanciest accessories of a car, and every single extra in this that works, and the seat goes, and the heated seat, and the cold seat, and the air conditioner in the front, and in the back. It's going on and on forever. The father doesn't stop him. Next day goes back to the thank you for the opportunity. Says in him, there's the Maisanism, I'm just giving you, he doesn't use these words. That's the pshat over here as follows. If you thank him for one thing, he'll be so upset. One thing, it's all you did for him, that's it. How can it be? Hashem has for us so many millions of things. Every day we breathe because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to thank him for one thing, for the Nisan of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's an insult. But on the anniversary, that's a different story. It's anniversary. Okay, that's a different story. Once a year. Oh, the mail is like this. Rabosa. When he took us out of Mitzrayim, we became a Kodesh Baruch Hu's nation. When did he take us out? By day. We became his nation by day. Took them all out. We became his nation. So therefore, every single day, we have to thank you, Hashem, for adopting us. That's it. Hashem adopted us. We are his nation. Shine. Every day, thank Hashem. All right. Quote the Benzoma is an extra rebate at night, but primarily by day. But the once a year is commemorating the specific miracles that Kodesh Baruch Hu did for us in Mitzrayim, culminating in Makas Bechoros. That took place not high noon, but at midnight. Bachatzi Alayla. So therefore, the lengthy discussion, not just one sentence, but the whole long Haggadah is takes place B'davka at night. Because the night is exactly the time when a Kodesh Baruch Hu culminated these miracles. So you hear what's going on that with this mashal? The two dinim. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out, that's by day. That's our daily thanks to Hashem. Like the young boy who thanked his parents every day for adopting him and taking care of all his needs. And there's the annual, once a year, the anniversary. We thank Kodesh Baruch Hu for the specific miracles. Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is done. Dafka night, when we have the anniversary of the final miracle. The miracle of Makas Bechoros. Beautiful pshat, Rabosai, and what this is doing here, the story of every single night, and what it's doing here in this context. Fine. Good. Rabosai, we're going further. Again, I repeat again, we can spend hours on every piece, but try to just give a kitz and nimitz. Fine. We have now Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenas and Torlam Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Aboban Dibritor, Echad Rosha, excuse me, Echad Chacham, Echad Rosha, Vechad Tam, Vechad Shenad Elisha. Okay. Who are all these people? Who are these people? So we think, you know, when we were growing up, you know, the Chacham was the Chacham. The Rosha, the bad guy. Tam, Nebuchad Tam, you know. That's all the pictures are. Do you have any pictures in the Agada? They have some pictures of the four sons. They call the Tam the simpleton. Is that how they translate it? You have an English translation there?
Hebrew.
Oh, all Hebrew, no English translations. Look at that. I didn't bring any English.
Simple son.
Right? That's nothing, a Tam. And then, the next one is even. My father, Zichron Levrocha, told us that when he was a youth, when the people came over from America, they said it's the four generations. The father came over from America had a long white beard. His son chucked it all, became a total Russian. Unfortunately, that's what happened many times. People came to America, and the children did not observe the religion of the parents. The grandson was totally confused. His father is an atheist, or doesn't practice Judaism. His grandfather is a Talmud Chacham with a long white beard. He's a Tom, he's confused, he's simple. The next generation, he never saw the great-grandfather. He's mamash and the elishal. He doesn't even know what it's all about. That's just a member they had in the Lower East Side in those days, four generations. Of course, that's not the Pashup Shah. But the Nitziv, excuse me, the Maisa Nissim, has a remarkable interpretation. Remarkable interpretation. He says, Tam does not mean a simpleton at all. Tam means, V'yakov ish tam, Yoshev oholim. Wait a minute. Isn't that a chacham? No. A chacham is someone, as he puts it over here, in my sinism, Mishodeh u'makir aborim midosim mitzad ha'oro ha'sichlis kavram avinu. He's a philosopher. He's a chacham. A wise man. He knows about Hashem from philosophy. Chakira. What is the Tam? He only knows the Kodesh Baruch Hu through the Torah Kedosh. Okay. Then, there's someone who's not a philosopher, not a Talmud Chacham, but just keeps going in the tradition of his ancestors. And then there's an Apokaris, who disregards everything. Everything. Oh. The first one is called a Chacham. The Apokaris is called a Rosh. One who doesn't know too much, just follows in his footsteps, Eina De'elisho. What's the Tam? The Tam is, knows from the Torah. Why? This will be obvious. He gives examples. You have Rishon, Gemurah, Magdosan, and Avira. Pesel, Shomicha. Okay. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his Hashkocha to save everybody. Everybody. Is as follows. What do we say? Baruch HaMakom. What's Baruch HaMakom? This is for the Chacham, the philosopher. Philosopher understands that Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mekor Mishal Olam. So, oh, philosopher. So, we thank Hashem for taking him out. Baruch Hu, who is the third person, who? Goes back on the Russia. He was only saved because everyone else was saved. The Mela, he wasn't separated from them, so he was saved incidentally. Then, Baruch Shenosan Torah Lam Yisrael is the Tam. Yaakov Ish Tam Yosha Baholim. Then, Baruch Hu, is Eidah Elishol, just follows along the tradition. He comes along with the others as well. So, fascinating interpretation of the Maisa Nissim. Are the four expressions, Baruch HaMokom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shnotom Yisrael, Baruch Hu, are literally connected our Baruch HaMokom to Torah. Baruch HaMokom is the Chacham, philosopher, who understands Hashem through philosophy. Baruch Hu is the Rasha, who just slept along and got out. Baruch Shnotom Yisrael is the Tam Yoshev HaHolim. And Baruch Hu again is the guy who just got out to everybody else. It's Einer Del Dishol. Fine, beautiful Pshat. The Chacham and says, everyone says different things. All the Mefarshim point out that the Pshat Ein Maftir Nachar Pesel Avikomen is very shver. Why do we mention the Avikomen only? So the Groz Magia Ad Ein Maftir. What do you mean Ad? All Mishnah's Pesachim. The last Mishnah Pesachim includes within it Ein Maftir Nachar Pesel Avikomen. That's how the Groz is supposed to have been Magia. And there are a million Pshatim as to why Afikoman, if it's the only thing here, is relevant. What about the Rasha? Rasha is Moa Avodah Zos Lachem. So what do you do? Hakei Eshinov! Knock out his teeth. Now, if you know the Vertlach, it's a Gematria. What's Rasha? Look inside. What's Rasha be Gematria? Look inside in the Haggadah. No, what is it? Figure it out. Easy. What's Rasha? 500 and? 70. What is Shinov? Knock out Shinov. What is Shinov? 366. What's 570 minus 366? 204. What's the Gematria of Tzaddik? 204. You knock his teeth out means in the rush you make him into a tzaddik. What does it mean you knock his teeth out, mamash? You try to make him be do kirim on him. Coming from you, you know, you give him a musr, and you become a tzaddik. That's have to at least say one gematria. That's a gematria vertel, which is found in many haggadahs. Okay? And then it says, what do you say? Babu zeh asah shel libe tzeis mitzrayim, leave alone low. What do you mean leave alone low? Shel leave alone lecha. Why are you talking to third person? So the Beis Halevi explains, this apikoris, don't even talk to him. You can't reason with him. He's a guy who's walked away from Yiddishkeit, there's nothing to reason with him. Your only fear is chalila v'chalila, he should impact on your other children. So you're talking to them. Leave below low, not him. Talk to the other kids. Lo hoya nigol, he wouldn't have been taken out. But you, my other from children, we have to not follow in his path. That's a, the base slave is marach more than this one. This begins an immense. Okay. Fine. Sh'enio de alishlo at psachlo. Sh'enemar. Vigata lebincha bayomahu lema. It's not the time to go on by great arichas, but we mentioned briefly there's a steer galuya, the orachayim es kasha. In that phrase, Vigata lebincha bayomahu lema. Why is that so? If you know the famous Rashi in Parshas Yisro, Kosoma lebeis Yaakov v'sagel lebnei Yisrael, says Rashi, Somar is Lashon Amira Raka, for the women, Beis Yaakov, and Saged, Lashon Gidin, hard, lebnei Yisrael to the men. If that's the case, it's a stira. Vigata lebincha bayomahu lema. What is it? Is it a Hagodah or is it an Amira? Within five words, is already a stira. Follow the Kasha. You understand the question, y'all? Vigata lebincha bayomahu lema. Hagodah is Koshim Kigidin. And lema is Amira Raka. So what is it? If Rashi makes a big deal in Parshas Yisro, that the two phrases mean different things, and here they're packed into the same tiny half a pasuk. That's Orachayim Esas Kasha, right here, Pasha's bow. So I suggested as follows. That there are two kinds of upbringings that we read about, or that we know about historically and even presently. One that we'll call the Victorian model. Those of you had to read in your English literature classes. Maybe you had to read Charles Dickens. You know, he had his Oliver Twist. Do you ever have to read that? No? You have no education in school. You went to high school. Did you have to read Oliver Twist?
I saw the play.
Saw the play? Okay, so Oliver, it's called. All right, so you saw Oliver. What's it about? It's about the Victorian up, the kids in an orphanage or something, and they're beating them up. They beat everybody up, but they really give them the back of the head. Okay, American literature. Mark Twain, have you heard of him? You ever read Huckleberry Finn? Tom Sawyer, all that kind of stuff. He'd beat him up with a switch. You know, Mamish, they would kill him. I mean, that was how it was in those days. They would just discipline their children, and if they disciplined them and they brought them up to be scared and to follow, toe the line, that was considered to be successful raising of children. Not crazy. But that's what they did. And if you know a certain part of our world, I'm talking the Torah world, there's a great emphasis on this kind of regimented upbringing. So you may have ever seen somehow some of the those who came from the German backgrounds with the discipline, so precision, and hey, you must do this. I've seen it myself. That's how it is. You have to be perfect, right? Today, let's go, but let's fast forward to today, 2012, American parenting. The kid does whatever he wants. There's an expression called positive parenting, which means never use the word no. The word no is taken out of the vocabulary. Not out of the vocabulary. Yes, 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 and if it's no, you mean, you know, it's not such a great idea, and you know, no discipline. No discipline, nothing. It's run amok. And that's true in the outside world, and it's unfortunate true even in certain parts of the Orthodox Jewish world. The kids are running amok, do whatever they want. The parents can have no say in what the kids are doing. And they say, look, if you discipline him, it'll damage his psyche, you want his self-esteem. You know, all that kind of stuff. I call psychobabble. I'm very much in favor of self-esteem, but not unrestrained and unrestricted run amok self-esteem, that you have to lose your self-esteem because you realize you have no self-worth. So in this very brief passage of five words, the Torah is discrediting both of those approaches. The way chinuch begins, you call it today a prerequisite for proper chinuch, is to have the father tell his son, the parent of the child, Dvorim Koshim Kegidin. Just 1 second, please. Hello? Yeah. Yes. From 8 o'clock tonight and on. Comments? Or kidneys? All right, let me call you back. I'm in the middle of a shiur. I'll call you back. Yeah, okay? Yeah, okay. No, okay. Bye. So let's take a second. I'm not mad to comments in 1 second on the phone in the middle of a shiur. That much I can't do. Okay, bye. So we're saying that we discredit both of these extreme positions. You have to have a haggad at the beginning. You have to tell the son, listen, I'm the father, you're the son. And there's a certain tradition from Sinai. And it's yes, it's patriarchal. Yes, it's hierarchical. I know those dirty words that's in today's postmodernism. No, we reject that. We say that that has to, it has to be. We have a Messiah from our father, who got from his father, all the way back to Matar Sinai. So that's what's called a prerequisite, a background. It cannot be just children running amok and not having any respect for their elders, for their parents, and thinking that they're all on the same level. It's a disaster. That's modern parenting, when it's not really parenting at all. On the other hand, that's merely a prerequisite. That's not in certain circles. That was considered the totality of the chinuch. Chas v'shalom. The chinuch has to be lemar, amira raka, with all the warmth and all the love and all the care that every parent has to shower upon a child. This is such an important thing. That's everything. You just have to have a little bit at the beginning of Haggadah, just a tiny bit, before we get to the real chinuch, which is the Amira Raka. So that's why Mishmah gives you all the brach when you raise your children. Yes, you have to tell the child, I'm the daddy and you're the kid. And what I say goes. But at the same time, you have to give him that background and introduction. Chinuch is really an Amira. It's Lemo. Lemo is the infinitive. The whole Haggadah is in order to have Lemo, to do it with a Lashon Raka in raising your children. Fine. Now we have over here something fascinating. Mitchila over the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avosein. Tova Terach. Terach Avinu. The question becomes, what's this doing here? Why does he talk about this? What's it all about? So here again, we'll give a mashal. Again, the mashal is based on the Haggadah Ma'aseh Nisim, but once again, it's significantly amplified. He writes very tersely. Oh. Here's the following kash. Why do we thank Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim? Who do you think took us down to Mitzrayim? Hashem took us down, and Hashem brought us up. So why in heaven's name are we thanking Hashem? So I'll give a mashal. It's not quite the mashal. He doesn't really give the mashal, but I'm giving the mashal. The mashal that I tell over is someone is jogging in Central Park. When you practice in a marathon, do you do it in Central Park?
I did once.
By day, I hope. Okay, so now it's a little bit safer. The old days was dangerous even by day. Now you shouldn't go there by night. But by day, it's a little bit safer. So someone's jogging there by day, by night. And as usual, what often happens is someone comes up to him, at least in the bad old days, grabs him from around the neck, give me your money. Why? He's a druggie. He needs to support his habit. He needs money. Okay. So the guy is smart enough. He's a New Yorker. He knows when your guy has your money, give him the money. Reaches into his pocket, they get the money. All of a sudden, some of the guy trips, because the guy's holding him by the neck, and he trips and he cuts open his head. He gashes his mouth. Gashes up. Blood's got spurting out. The poor Ganev is aghast. He didn't want to hurt anybody. He just wanted the money. So what does he do? He has some kind of a vehicle, let's say a motorcycle that he's on. That's his getaway vehicle. So they jump on my motorcycle. So the guy jumps on the back of his motorcycle. He rushes him quickly to the, what's called Roosevelt. That's the hospital that's close to Central Park. 59th Street.
Roosevelt,
yeah, the west side. Brings him to Roosevelt Hospital. They stitch him up. He says, where do you live? I live in the 90s. Hop on my motorcycle. Takes him up a few miles to his apartment. He gets off. What are you supposed to say? Thank you. I mean, the guy took him from the Central Park, took him to the hospital, waited for 3 hours in the hospital while he got stitched up. Gets him, takes him, and drives him back home to his house. Say thank you, right? What kind of thank you? He's the guy who caused me the gash in the head in the first place. He was robbing me for his drug money. That's the kasha, in dramatic terms, that the Ma'aseh Nisim asked over here. What? Kadosh Baruch Hu took us to Mitzrayim. He took us out. It was a big deal. Says he that the Ma'aseh Nisim is false. Mitzchila ov de avodah zara hayu avoseinu. And avodah zara was a terrible tumor. We had to get rid of it. How to get rid of it? Gradually got rid of it. Terach was avodah zara. It was Avraham v'Avi Nachor. So the tumor went to Nachor, and Avraham Avinu established a pattern of tara. However, there was still some tumor left. So the tumor went out to Yishmael, and the tower went out to Yitzchak. There's still some tumor left. So therefore, the tumor went out to Esav, and the tower went out through Yaakov. That's why Terach is mentioned. That's why Esav is mentioned. The kasha why Yishmael is not mentioned. Even after we had Yaakov, there was still some tumor left. So we had to go to Mitzrayim. What's Mitzrayim called? The Kur HaBarzel, the purifying furnace. So we absolutely had to go through that experience of Mitzrayim in order to purify ourselves. So it's not the pshat that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a bloody nose, a gash on the head, and then he stitched us up. And what are you thanking him for? No. The going down to Mitzrayim was not stam a bang. The going down to Mitzrayim was part of the plan to purify us. That was also for the good. See, if we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in order to explain why we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to mention that we had certain tumors of Terach and of Esav, etc. And even Yaakov Avodah had something left, we had to go to the Kor HaBarzel of Mitzrayim. If not for that, it wouldn't be understood why we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for him taking us out. He's the one who took us in the first place. Oh. Vayter. Baruch Shom Avtachos Yisrael Baruch Hu. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chishim Vesaketz. So the Mefarshim point out one more gematria. Ketz is 190. Kadosh Baruch Hu took off 190 from 400. What do we get? 210. That's how long we were there. So the Briskerov explains, big deal. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Chishim Vesaketz. But Hakadosh Baruch Hu knows arithmetic. That's a chiddush. He's able to take off 190 from 400 to 210. What's that? You have to praise Hashem for that. So the Briskerov says no. A Meir de Gevart. He says, you know, when you think about it a little bit, the Ribbono Shel Olam was counting really two separate and distinct counts. What were the two counts? One was the count of 400 years. Two, the fact that we were able to get out early is because of the Koshi Hashibud, as Chazal say. Says the Brisker Rav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a precise calibration and calculation. How much Koshi Hashibud should there be so that the Koshi Hashibud weighted calculation should reach 400 at exactly the same time that the chronological calculation of 400 ended. Because that one ended before the other, we'd have to be staying Golas extra for no reason. So he made it exactly, come at it precisely at that level. That's what he says. Now, I said we'll try to end in about an hour, so we'll try to say two more ideas on Vehisha Amda, and then we will wish each other a Chakosha V'Sameach. Rabosai, Vehisha Amda L'Avoseinu V'Lanu is a Pella. It's a Pella. What does it refer to? What does it refer to? Where is it? Where is this treasure? Do you know where it is? Who knows where this treasure is? Chush Gadol, this is something which stands us in good stead throughout time. This Chush Gadol, as far as we know, is lost and gone forever. No one knows where it is. So why say the Chush Gadol is Amda L'Avoseinu V'Lanu in every generation? Where? What? How? Tremendous cash. Tremendous cash. So, once again, I'd like to share with you the Emes Yaakov, the Dubna Machaz of Moshe. It's a Gemron Brochus Daf Tes. Darbe no ba'ozne ha'am. No zoshen ba'kosh. Please take the money. So it shouldn't be said, Va'avodum v'inu osam kiyem behem. Va'achrechein yetzu b'chush godo lo kiyem behem. So Avraham Avinu shouldn't say it. No one should say it. So we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu begged us to take away the money and the clothing. Frek the Emes Yaakov. Ha'pliyon is gava. And if not for someone saying, with Avraham Avinu or someone else saying this, if not for that, would be okay for HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to fulfill his word? Ah, how can it be? Follow me. Please take the money and the clothes so that Avraham Avinu or someone else shouldn't say that Hashem didn't fulfill his word. Hashem has to fulfill his word. No one's going to say he didn't. Gives a marshal. A young boy was working for a balabas after the time of his work. So he gave him a check. I give the marshal, when I was growing up, little kids would have a job in the summertime. They would have to put on a sprinkler before they had that automated. Every day, at dusk, you'd go to the house down the block. I had this job. And put on the sprinkler for an hour. Go to before mincha, I'd put on the sprinkler, come back from after, turn off the sprinkler. So on every day. And then the balabas was down the block would pay me. See, after a whole year, the whole summer of doing this, he's away in some fancy resort. A whole 8 weeks of work, whatever it is, gives me a check for $100. I don't want to check. If they start to cry, go to my father and say, Abba, I worked the whole summer, gives me a piece of paper. So, father goes to the gevir and says, you do me a favor. Go to the bank, get 100 shiny pennies, and bring it to my son. Oh, goes to the bank, 100 shiny pennies, and gives him, oh, he's so excited. Tells all his friends, look at this. I got to pay 100 shiny pennies for every time I had to do a little arithmetic. Every time I put the sprinkler on, I got a penny. I turned it off, got a penny. 100 shiny pennies. Well, terrific. And the check for $100, which is so much more, doesn't know how to evaluate it. Little kids. Oh. What's the nimshel? What is the Rechush Gadol? The Rechush Gadol is Torah Kedosha. Torah Kedosha. The problem is, Avraham Avinu understands that, but the Ovdim, those who worked in Mitzrayim, they're like the children. They think Rechush Gadol means cash. So you have to give them the cash, the gold and the silver and the clothing of Mitzrayim, take out with them. Meiridik. Isn't that beautiful? They shouldn't say, as he calls it, Lefidal Hasagosam, because of the paucity of their understanding, they didn't fulfill the Rechush Gadol. He really did fulfill the Rechush Gadol, because he will be to come to the Torah Kedosha. Because they didn't understand it, you have to give him the gold and the silver and the clothes as well. Adkan Dvar HaKadosh. We'll conclude the Shiur the way we began. Again, we've had a few things from the Dumna Magid, quite a few from the Maisa Nisim, the Nesivis, a couple of assorted ones. We'll begin with the Netziv, and we'll end with the Netziv. It's like God, the Imre Shefer. He has the same kasha. V'hi she'om b'la v'seinu v'lonu. What does it mean? Rechush Gadol. We don't have any Rechush Gadol. We just don't have anything. Where is it? Says the Holy Netziv. V'hi she'om, that does not refer to the last phrase, Rechush Gadol. That we lost a long time ago. To what does it refer? The earlier part of the pasuk. Yodoa teida ki ger yez aracho be'eretz lo lohem. What does that mean? What does that mean? That wherever we go, in every golus, we will only be gerim. We will never become completely assimilated into the host culture. Can't happen. Can't happen. Impossible. Yaakov Avinu went down to Eretz Lo Lahem, to Mitzrayim. Yaakov says, "Parlogu ba'oretz bonu." What does it mean? Nalishtakeya. Nalishtakeya. It's the very next piece. Lo yored Yaakov Avinu lishtakeya b'Mitzrayim al logu shah means not only does it mean temporarily, but even for the time that he's there. He's only gonna a visitor. Doesn't want to become a full citizen. He wants to live by himself in Eretz Goshen, Bodon. Betach Bodon and Yaakov. Am levodon Yishkom. That's what it means. We should be separate in Eretz Goshen. That's Ein Yaakov. Shouldn't be mixed in with all the other guys. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that wherever we go, we're going to be gerim. And unfortunately, we wanted to become assimilated. They stopped doing Mila. So what happened? So the goyim started hating us. In every generation, the more we want to assimilate, the goyim want to hate us even more. So we want Sanhedrin of Kuf Dalet. I said, Hashem says, but if you don't want to be separate on your own, now it'll be Eicha Yoshva Bodod. That's Pshat. The Hish Amda means Ger Yez Aracha Be'eretz Lolohem. We want to assimilate, they end up hating us. At the last minute, Kadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyodam. That's Tzeil Namad. Love and Rami wanted to assimilate us. And the Yaakov Avinu said, no. I want to separate. Amazing vart. That means that we have to try our best to remain a nation apart. Yes, it doesn't mean we can't learn certain things from the outside world around us. That's for sure. We're permitted and perhaps even required. But excessive intermingling with the non-Jewish world, as I mentioned on Sunday a little bit, leads to our learning from their deeds. Vayis'arvu bagoyim. That means not just they were there, they were mixed in with them. Vayilmudu b'maseihem. Leads to assimilation, chalil leads to intermarriage. And unfortunately, as some historians have noted, historically the Jews were willing to assimilate as much as the Goyim will let them. It's apropos to quote here the Meshech Chochma, who predicted already 100 years ago that if we continue to attempt to assimilate in certain countries, such as those who think that, quote, Berlin, here Yerushalayim, you know what country Berlin is in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have no alternative, he says, but to create a terrible storm that's going to destroy us and cause a churban. That was the Holocaust. He predicted the Holocaust because they were attempting to assimilate. That's what the Nitziv says over here. If we attempt to assimilate, they come to hate us. So what is our take-home lesson from this Nitziv? Yes, we live in an outside world. Most people make their parnasa in the outside world, they inhabit the outside world, but their self-identity must be Vayishkon Yisrael Betach Bodon Ein Yaakov. And here's a difficult line to draw, especially for those who have a more modern orientation and they're living in a more modern world, less insular. For them it's much more difficult. Those who live in Hasidic enclaves, it's a little easier for them. Most of us live in societies where there are all kinds of people, Jews, non-Jews, observant, non-observant. Everyone's there. And how do we maintain our integrity and our identity? It's only with hard work and the recognition that that is our destiny. Betach Bodor Ein Yaakov. This is an integral part of the Mesorah, as it's passed down from father to son all year long, and in particular, Seder night. Yes, we open the door, Shvoch HaMaschal HaGoyim, it's not politically correct, but you understand that anyone who has any relatives who were killed in the Holocaust, I don't know if you know your family tree well enough to know. Do you know of any such relatives? You do? You do? I know myself, I don't know. My mother lost two sisters and a brother and their spouses and their children, all killed in the Holocaust. So we don't have to think that far back to know how they tried to kill the Goyim. Not they tried to kill us, they did kill us. The fact that we were spared, that our respective ancestors came to America, whatever, during the war, before the war, after, however they came, b'chesed Hashem. Our self-definition dare not stray from being Betach Bodor Ein Yaakov. Yes, with all of our higher education and sophistication and what they may be making a living in the outside world and interacting with non-observant and the Jews and non-Jews, all that's okay. Provide your self-definition as you go back to your shul or your daf yomi or your shtibul or your family. That's who you are. Outside, what you're doing to earn a livelihood, fine. If that line gets blurred, chalila v'chas, it's terrible danger for you, for the person himself or herself, for the family, for the community, and ultimately for Klal Yisrael. So we conclude with a bracha. As we have somehow maintained our identity despite the great obstacles until this point, it will be so hard to continue this identity until we'll quickly see the Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. Chag Kosher V'Sameach to everybody.